first in studio, as usual, I have with the psychological slot, and that is with Sally O'Reilly, who's our local psychotherapist and psychologist. And tonight we're going to talk about post-traumatic stress disorder. So you're very welcome to the show, Sally.
Hi, Rosari. Thank you for having me back again.
It's always lovely to have you, Sally, especially your expertise. Now, tonight we're going to talk about post-traumatic stress disorder, PS, what is it?
PTSD.
Thank you. Yeah. And what is it? Like, what is it?
Okay. The first thing I'm going to say is that post-traumatic stress disorder is a mental health condition that is, as it's in the title, it's considered a disorder. So one thing to watch out for is that no one can officially diagnose you with a disorder unless they're a psychiatrist. In other words, a psychologist like me or a psychotherapist like me cannot come along and tell someone like you that you have PTSD. But what we can do is say, look, there are some behaviours, thoughts and feelings that you're displaying that are consistent with PTSD.
Right.
Now, just to go back to your question. So what is it? It's a condition that's triggered usually by a terrifying event or a series of events.
Okay.
And also in more recent versions of the Psychiatric Bible, which is the DSM,
right.
There's a thing called vicarious trauma, which would mean that we could also develop PTSD as a result of witnessing a terrifying event or even hearing about a terrifying event from someone who witnessed or experienced it.
Okay.
So it's now more widely accepted as a thing that's experienced not just by people
who
experience
victim.
It, okay. but also the people who are in contact with these people. Mm. So they would be friends or relations or indeed people in the helping professions.
Okay. That's very interesting. Yeah. I didn't realise it would extend to the next circle out from the person
yes.
involved or
yeah.
in contact with. Okay, so the only incident I can think of off the top of my head now for, you know, that you'd hear about PTSD is, we'd say, after the Twin Towers, the collapse of the Twin Towers mm-hmm. and people who were involved in that or had family involved in it, or indeed a warlike situation.
Yeah.
But what are, we'd say, the typical symptoms, signs and symptoms of anybody who would suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder?
Okay, well, we tend to group the symptoms into four kind of categories, and one would be, so there's memories, behaviours, like avoidance,
okay.
how we think and how we appear, and by that I mean physical changes or emotional reactions. So I'll just go through some examples. And also, I'm always a little bit anxious talking about stuff like this because I'm aware that it might trigger some things for people listening. If that happens.
Okay.
So if that does happen and you're listening to this and you think, crikey, that's me, feel okay about getting professional help with that, you know, and call a GP or call someone who can support you with this.
Okay, and who might one call out of interest? You mentioned a GP.
I would call a GP. I would talk to, you know, someone in a helping profession like a psychologist or a therapist.
Or
you know what,
Samaritans?
Even a friend.
Okay.
The Samaritans, of course. The Samaritans, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for reminding me of them. Or a friend. But someone. You know?
Okay.
So now, moving forward then. So things that can happen with our memories would be we might get recurrent memories of the event.
Okay.
Like unwanted memories that come into your head and you don't want them there.
Okay.
Where you're reliving the event as if it were happening in the present. So we call them flashbacks. A lot of people would experience dreams or nightmares about the event. And I would add to that dreams or nightmares that have the same kind of theme or flavour as the event.
Okay.
And the other thing would be if we find ourselves reacting very emotionally or with a lot of distress or physical reactions to things that remind you of the event. So you're talking about the Twin Towers. So that might be if someone was suffering from PTSD as a result of the Twin Towers, then they might go into flashback or have a panic attack when they see a skyscraper, for example.
Okay.
Or hear the engine of a plane.
Mm-hmm.
So we call those triggers.
Okay.
Avoidance things would be where someone might avoid thinking or trying to avoid thinking or talking about the event that happened, or avoiding places things, activities or people that are connected to that event. So again, if we're using your example, which is a great one, then you might find someone suddenly not wanting to fly.
Okay.
Or they might have a friend who's a pilot and they don't want to talk to them anymore.
Okay.
You know? So it mightn't be completely obvious. The connection might not be completely obvious, and some connections will be, of course. Then in mood changes would be thinking more negatively about yourself or about the world than you used to. Now, I'm saying that because we all tend to do that anyway at times, but where it's really ramped up, where you're feeling hopeless, but where you can't, where your memory isn't working correctly, where there are chunks of time missing around the traumatic event or events.
Like a blackout.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Where you're, like I'm just thinking of an example from my own life where there might be, this is from years ago, where there might be, say, a funeral that you attended, but there are hours missing from that. Where you're having difficulty maintaining close friendships or relationships, or your partnership or your marriage might be falling apart for no discernible reason, you know, that is hard to pin that down. That you feel detached from people even though they're still there. And that you have difficulty feeling happy. Okay. You know, when things are happening and you're going, why aren't I, like, this is, this new job is great, why aren't I, you know, why can't I enjoy this, or this relation, or this baby is a wanted baby, why can't I enjoy the baby? Like, that would be a very common post-traumatic, what's the word I'm looking for, reaction to a traumatic birth, for example. So, you know, we hear a lot about postnatal depression and difficulty bonding, but that would be a traumatic reaction, in my opinion.
Right.
No, I'm not the only one who has that opinion. But I do think it's something that's overlooked.
Okay.
A lot.
Right.
And then other things that can happen would be what we call the startle response. So that's where there is a new response to loud noises, where you jump.
Okay.
And where you're hypervigilant is another word that we use, where you're constantly on the lookout for danger. You might be more nervous crossing the road than you used to be, or you might know that there's a lightning storm coming and you just make sure that everything's turned off, whereas before you might have been a bit, you know,
blasé.
So again, you know, lightning and things like that won't have anything to do with the Twin Towers, but it's the danger. It's the danger aspect, the on the lookout for something going wrong. Then we have the demon, trouble sleeping, trouble concentrating, and then a huge part of PTSD that people don't necessarily connect with trauma is anger. Anger, guilt and shame so often go together, you know, but anger can be, anger is usually fear or sad in disguise, you know, so you might overreact if you're and I don't mean the word overreact disrespectfully, I know that can trigger a lot of people, but if you're, say, in a traffic queue and you know, someone comes a bit close to you, or the traffic isn't moving quickly enough, you know, you find yourself going into a rage. But that is, it would be a common feature of a traumatic response where, you know, you might be afraid someone's going to bang into you from behind if you don't get moving, or you feel you've lost control because the traffic is moving or someone's too close to you. So it's about, it's that loss of control and the fear that that can trigger, which comes out looking like anger.
So, and a lot of those I can imagine are pretty common occurrences, like could be common occurrences, but people wouldn't necessarily recognise the symptoms. For instance, I'm thinking about the, I suppose, post-traumatic stress disorder after a stressful birth, for instance, the one you mentioned. That could be a lot more common than we realise, as you highlighted. Or, as you said, the traffic jam rage scenario could be triggered by other memories. Kind of subconsciously.
I think that's where now, I'm glad that you phrased it like that, because that's where we need to be careful about labelling it PTSD. So I would always say to, if a client that I'm working with is presenting with these things, one question to ask yourself, if you're listening and you're going, oh my God, I have all of those things, I would say, well, are they new? Are they constant? Has this been going on for more than a couple of months? Because we all experience most of these things often.
Right.
And that doesn't mean we have PTSD, but it might mean we have PTS. In other words, we might have post-traumatic stress, but that's a normal reaction to trauma.
Okay, so that passes.
Yes.
Okay, whereas the disorder
doesn't. The disorder arises when it doesn't pass.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, we do tend, I think, these days to over-label ourselves. You know, and you hear people saying, oh, I have OCD. Mm-hmm. And I would say, well, maybe you're just a bit OC.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Which is, what again?
Obsessive compulsive.
Oh, yeah.
Very, people can be very, you know, for people who really suffer from OCD, it's suffer is the word, you know, it's
right.
A big thing. But a lot of us like things to be neat and ordered and in place, and that ebbs and flows according to what's going on in our life.
Yeah.
That's not a disorder.
Yeah, I become very OC rather than OCD. Coming up to exam times, all of a sudden then it was cleaning my room, tidying my desk, and I became paramount importance.
Right. That's called procrastination.
I was thinking of something like that. All right, yeah.
So, but anyway, does that make sense, the difference between PTSD, PTSD and PTS?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, that's brilliant, actually. And actually, Sally, on that note, that has really shed a lot of light on that, but we've also now decided a topic for next week, which is procrastination.
Okay.
Which I'm really pleased about.
Sure, yeah.
We can all learn from that.
We can talk about that next week.
Next week, yeah.
But if I might say one thing.
Yes.
One thing. Mm. And this is a very important thing.
Right.
And it's this, that a fairly common symptom or sign of PTSD is suicidal ideation.
Okay.
Right? Now, that is not a normal response to stress. It's a normal response to acute stress, and it's short-lived, and that's where we think things like, oh, I hate this, I wish I weren't alive. A lot of us think that. We don't talk about it. But suicidal ideation, as in feeling suicidal and that lasting, that's a part of PTSD. And if you're experiencing that, then please do reach out to someone, tell someone,
especially
the GP,
yeah.
Samaritans, a psychologist, a therapist, a counsellor, whoever. But that is very important, and I want people to hear that, especially during this discussion.
Okay. That is fantastic, Sally. And I'm afraid we have to leave it at that, but I'm glad we left it at that really important note, that the Samaritans, GP, and there's help out there for people who might be experiencing suicide ideation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much again for coming in this evening to talk about post-traumatic stress disorder. Or for a lot of us, maybe it's just, as you said, post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, which is not an easy thing either. So
no.
I won't use the word just, but yes, I know what you mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
And thanks for shedding light on that. I mean, human body and brain is so complex, isn't it? And the human person that we could...
Yeah, we're fragile, you know, we have feelings and that's it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a minefield, really. But anyway, it's great you're shedding light on it. So again, I suppose thank you so much for coming into studio, Sally. That was a really great discussion. And now we'll take another bit of music before we move on to our next interview. Thank you, Sally.